This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. A moment now for a brief public service announcement. Kind of a public service announcement. We are 25 years old this year. We as in Marketplace. In 1989, three guys named J.J. Yore, Jim Russell, and John Barth came up with the first show that really looked at life through the lens of business and the economy. And one of the things we're doing this year to celebrate is a series that we are going to call, with all due deference to ESPN, 25 for 25.
25 years.
25 things.
Jobs.
Revenue.
The economy.
The American people.
25 things about the economy to mark those 25 years. The first, perhaps logically, is a look at the way we measure that economy. Some of the statistics and indicators we talk about quite a bit on the program. Gross domestic product, unemployment. You know the list as well as I do. But here's the thing. It's entirely possible that those numbers aren't telling us what we think they're telling us. That, anyway, is the gist of Zachary Carabel's new book. It's called The Leading Indicators, A Short History of the Numbers That Rule Our World. Zach, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kai.
Well, what you have managed to do in this volume, my friend, is basically shatter all that is business and economic journalism, right?
Well, that wasn't fully the intent, but it may be one of the effects.
But you kind of got there. I mean, in essence, the elevator pitch is, you know, all those numbers that we use every single month? Yeah, not so much.
Yeah. Part of it is that when these numbers were invented, largely in the 1930s and 40s, they were invented to capture a world of industrial nation states, and having those as markers was incredibly helpful. But as we know, the world has changed dramatically over the past 50, 60 years, and the assiduous efforts of the statisticians notwithstanding, these numbers remain very good at capturing that world, but not so good at capturing the world that we currently live in.
Just back to the founding, if you will, it was the Great Depression and not knowing, in essence, what we didn't know, right, that led people to come up with these formulations.
Exactly. And one of the first ones was unemployment figures because, as you know, when the Depression first hit in 1929 and Herbert Hoover, who had been this apostle of scientific governance and management, didn't have the tools to really figure out just how bad things were. And so, you know, he agreed and a bunch of Senate leaders agreed that you should fund the Bureau of Labor Statistics to help them come up with some actual concrete assessment of what was going on. And lo and behold, these initial numbers, which are very primitive relative to what we have today, showed that things were really, really bad, which oddly enough gave Franklin Roosevelt tools to defeat Hoover in the election.
So run me through one of them, the creation of one of them. And let's pick, just because it's in the news, you know, regularly every month and a lot recently, unemployment. You know, what was the mindset? What was the general gist?
So basically, until the late 19th and early 20th century, there was no unemployment that economists identified or that people identified, because the idea was you needed to work to live. And therefore, if you weren't working, you were either deficient or dead. And first, it took a long time to actually define what it meant to be unemployed. Being unemployed today, when we do this monthly report, is not just not having a job. It is you have to be looking for a job during the prior 4 weeks and then not be able to find one. And if you don't fit that particular category, you are not, statistically speaking, unemployed. You actually just evaporate from the labor force.
Certainly seems to me that we ought to, in this age where I carry in my pocket more computing power than, you know, anybody in the 1950s and 40s had, we should be able to find some kind of measures that would be more, better suited, I guess, maybe is a better word.
One simple number is never going to capture complicated realities. Per capita income in the United States. Look, if Bill Gates walks into a bar, per capita, everyone becomes a millionaire. It's true statistically, but it's also meaningless as a statement. And all of these things are averages. And very few of us live averages, right? The Lake Wobegon line, you know, everybody was above average. We would all do better to not cleave so much to these very simple averages and to use that power of information gathering that we now, as you say, have at our fingertips to figure out the answers to the questions we have, and rather than cleaving to very simple numbers that obscure more than they illuminate.
But we have to have something that provides the basis for common conversation, right? Janet Yellen has to be looking at the same numbers as the guy running the San Francisco Fed, let alone some small shop in you know, Des Moines.
Well, I would say that Janet Yellen and government policymakers who are in charge of these kind of macro levers of this thing called the economy need common numbers. our realities are much more local, you know, much more important what the housing reality is in the 50-mile radius of where you're going to buy a home than what the national number says. Much more important what the employment picture is in that locality than what the national number says. And we would, I think, do much better focusing on those questions as they pertain meaningfully. Because, you know, there's only one Janet Yellen. There's only one head of the Federal Reserve responsible for macro price stability within an economic system. Most of us don't need that number and, in fact, are going to be misled by what it tells us and not led by it.
The book is called The Leading Indicators by Zach Carbell. Zach, thanks very much.
Thank you.